ओम ज्ञान सुमिरन्तस्य ज्ञानं जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Over the, by nature full of the mode of passion, then tamasa in the mode of ignorance, mudha chetasa means that they're just foolish, their mind is overcome by foolishness. And then we see in other words satam, saintly people, which is the opposite of the demoniac people. Prabhupada also takes up such language in the purport. Irresponsible persons, surcharged with passion and ignorance, foolishly do things that are not to be done. So this is the relation of the narration of the story of how Kunks started the persecution of saintly people. Now, according to modern standards of journalistic coverage, this is a biased report. If you read, it all depends on which newspaper you read. If you read in the Pakistani newspaper, you'll read about the enemy. I went to Pakistan once. I was seeing in the Dawn English paper from Karachi. Now, at that time, they weren't even fighting, but in the parliament, they're discussing India, referred to as the enemy. And in India, they're very mild. They don't refer to as the enemy directly. History also, I was going to school in England, and in our history book there would be all these caricatures of Napoleon from the newspapers of that time, or they had cartoons showing him to be a big fool. But in France, France is Napoleon and Napoleon is France. That's their motto. Prabhupada was told this when he went to France. They said, well, France is here. What happened to Napoleon? He's no longer here. He's gone. Where is he? Dehino svinyata dehe kumaram yovanam jara tata dehantara prapti. He's gone somewhere. Maybe he's not even in France. Many times I often thought that just like there's some India-Pakistan fighting or whatever it may be, Serbs against Croats or Serbs against Kosovos or Serbs against Bosnians or excuse me, Russians against Chechenians? Arabs against Jews? So many different kinds of fights are going on. Hindus versus Muslims, Hindus versus Sikhs, Hindus versus Hindus, caste fighting. So just, let's take for instance, Pakistani against Indian. So the Indian is fighting the Pakistani at the time of death. He's being shot dead by a Pakistani and thinking, I hate Pakistanis. So in his next life, he'll be born as a Pakistani. Because he's thinking of Pakistani at the time of death. Then he'll be fighting the Indian. Anyway, the point that it doesn't seem to be very fair reporting. The BBC is famous for it's supposed to be neutral reporting. It's very difficult because just like in the India-Pakistan situation, if you don't report according to the Indian, what they say, that we killed 900 Pakistanis and we lost 3 people, and the Pakistanis say we killed 7,000 Indians and we only got one of our people sprained his ankle, and that's all. So unless you report according to what they say, well, you're not reporting fairly. But they have to try to be neutral. It's very difficult to be neutral. But the idea is there to give a fair report. You shouldn't be biased one way or the other. Actually, I was thinking the Americans, they were the rascals in the recent Serbia thing. Now he's smiling. What business do they have bombing Serbia? Anyway, see, I'm biased too. So, it's very difficult to maintain that neutrality. Just to be absolutely fair to both sides. The modern idea is you should be fair and everyone's got their own point of view and you should see both sides. So that's also one quality, to see both sides. But having seen both sides, it's not necessarily that both sides are right. Usually we say that in any quarrel, both sides are wrong. to some extent. But in this situation, it's being stated that Kamsa and company, they were absolutely wrong. And Krishna and company were absolutely right. It seems to be a very biased interpretation. That's why sometimes in Tamil Nadu, they have the idea that, oh, you see this Ramayana, it's written with the North Indians in mind. Because Ram, he came from North India. And Ravana, he's from south, a little bit over the water in Lanka. So actually it was a North Indian invasion, and it's all biased. Actually, Ravana was the good guy and Ram was the bad guy. That's, some people interpret like that in South India. And you see, Ravana, he wasn't such a bad guy. I mean, he only stole Ram's wife. I mean, not so bad, but you see what Ram did? He wiped out the whole of Lanka. Wasn't very fair. So you may interpret it in a different way. However, the Srimad Bhagavatam is not written from the point of view of neutral ethics or morality. The Shastra gives very clear directions. Pravittincha, nivittincha, janana, vidur, asuraha. Those who do not know what to do or what not to do, they are called demons. Then how will you say what to do or what not to do? Because everyone has their own opinion. You can have your own opinion about everything. You see, someone will say abortion is very bad. Someone will say, no, it's good. You see, what if the mother doesn't want to have the child? It's better for the child to kill it now, otherwise she won't look after it properly. There's one kind of reason. Be kind to the children. Kill them before they have a chance. There's one kind of reason. You see, they come from a very poor family, and the girl got pregnant, and what to do? You can't look after the child properly, and the child will be socially disgraced, because he doesn't know who the father is. The girl can't get married. So better have an abortion. In a different moral sense. But Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't say, no, you judge from your own point of view. Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Shastras say, Ya Shastra Vidimutricha Bhatite Kama Karata Nasa Siddhavati Nasu Kamna Paramgatim. This is the description of the demons. What it ultimately comes down to, throughout the Gita 16th chapter, there's, at the beginning there's a description of the satam, saintly persons. Avayam satva samshudhir, jnana yoga elastati, dhanam damascha, swadhyaschata arjuna. These qualities of saintly people, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, being fixed in transcendental knowledge, giving charity, performing sacrifices, studying shastra, performing austerities, all these, there's so many. But then, what are the qualities of demons? Dambho, darbho, vimanascha, parisham, krodha, evacha, agyanam, cha, bijatasya, parthasampadam, asur. Demons, they are arrogant, conceited, puffed up, speak harshly, foolish. These qualities, they're born with it. And what it all comes down to, at the end, the summary is given, that those who don't follow the Shastra, they don't follow your Shastra, they simply act according to their own way of thinking. They cannot attain perfection or peace or the supreme destination. So this is the description of the demons. They're called demons. Daivi Prakriti or Asuri Prakriti. The two things are defined in the 16th chapter. They're different. It's not that, well, it's just a different point of view. From the demon's point of view, it is just a different point of view. From Krishna's point of view, they are demons, those who don't follow Shastra. There's a clear distinction. It's not that, well, you know, the demons aren't so bad, and, you know, the saintly people, you could say sometimes the saintly people do wrong things also. That's admitted by Krishna in Gita. He admits that sometimes even the saintly people or devotees, they may be sudurachari, means very badly behaved. Duracha means wrong behavior. Krishna says sudurachari, very bad behavior. But apichet sudurachara ajate mamananyabha sadhu sadhureva samantavya. Those who worship me with unflinching faith, even if they do something very wrong, Krishna says they are sadhu. On the other hand, one may be superficially well behaved, but if he's not a devotee, then yasyasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana sarvaya gunais tatra samasati sura harava bhaktasya kato mahanguna manoratenasati bhavato vihi. This extreme fanatic point of view, it may seem to the non-devotee, expressed in Bhagavatam, like this verse is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, who is a saintly person coming in a family of demons. He knows very well about the demons. So he says that those who have got a kinchana bhakti, ananya bhava, same thing, with no other desire but to serve Krishna, they naturally become decorated with all saintly qualities. Whereas someone who is not a devotee of Krishna, even if he is superficially well behaved, it's all simply a mental transformation. He has no actual good qualities. A clear distinction. The Bhagavatam is distinct from modern ways of thought in that it is not a man's eye view of the universe. It is God's eye view of the universe. In the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions in a purport that Krishna consciousness means to see the universe in the same way that Krishna sees it. How do we do that? By studying Shastra. Understanding through Shastra. Shastra means Krishna, he is the Tattva-darshi that we read in Gita, that to get transcendental knowledge, one should approach a Tattva-darshi, one who has seen the truth. So the original and total and best Tattva-darshi is Krishna. Therefore, Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. Krishna is the Guru of the whole universe. Guru means who represents Krishna. He represents what Krishna says. And Krishna gives transcendental knowledge, jnana chakshusha. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. Krishna recommends, how can you see what is going on? How we're changing from body to body? By seeing through the eye of knowledge. That knowledge is given by Krishna. So one who sees through Shastra, Shastra chakshusha. Or jnana chakshusha. He is tattva-darshi. Can see what is what. God's eye view of the universe. Now Krishna's, his view, his perception is that the devotees are very dear to him. Actually everyone is dear to him. Everyone is dear to Krishna. But the devotees, they are especially dear to Krishna, and the demons, they are rejected. There's a clear distinction. It's not that it's all the same. Any point of view is all the same. Whichever opinion you have, it's all the same. Krishna doesn't say that at all. Clearly delineates. There is a difference between being a devotee and being a demon. There is a difference between following the Shastra and not following the Shastra. Ultimately, following the Shastra means to accept Krishna. If one follows the Shastra but doesn't accept Krishna, then he's not actually following Shastra. We have some Aryas, some so-called Arya Samaj, they're supposed to be, they say, we follow the Vedas. But they don't accept the conclusion of the Vedas, which is to surrender to Krishna. They say, we only accept the four Vedas. But they don't accept the conclusion of the Vedas, which is to surrender to Krishna. So that example is given of their Jarasandha, is given as one example. There are many examples of people who followed Shastra, but superficially only, because Ved Mukhyamani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, they're only by lip service. We're following Shastra. But what is the essence of Shastra? They're not interested to understand. They're not interested to surrender to Krishna. So they are called demons. And so many words have been used for them. Asura. Here we have Danava in the previous verse. These words are used. Danava is a... All these words, Danava means descended from Danu, Daitya descended from Diti. Asura also has a specific meaning. That they didn't take the Sura. They didn't take the Somaras. The demigods, they have Somaras. So these are generic terms. But another reason, another meaning of or a more important meaning of Asura is ungodly. Sura means godly person, saintly person. And Asura means demoniac person. So although these are also family lines, the Asura family line, which covers the Daityas and the Danavas, these two dynasties together are called the Asuras. But more important meaning of Asura is one who doesn't follow Shastra and doesn't accept Krishna. And who is a saintly person, accepts Krishna. Deva generally means the Sura or the demigods. But Vishnu Bhakta Smito Deva, that is the real meaning of the saintly person, one who is worshipping Krishna. And Asura Tad Vipariyaha, those who have a different outlook, those who don't worship Krishna, they are known as demons. So here the demons are being described. Raja Prakatiyaha, Tamasa, Mudhacharitasaha, overcome by the modes of passion and ignorance, they are very foolish. That must be. Anyone who is overcome by the modes of passion and ignorance, they are foolish. Even in the mode of passion, there may be much intelligence, but the root, the foundation of that intelligence is foolishness. In other words, just like we see in modern society, people are very busy constructing big buildings, making a very complex society, more and more gadgets for facilitating business. Just like now there is the latest gadget is the mobile phone. Every businessman should have one so that 24 hours a day they can conduct their business. So it's some intelligence is required. How to make this mobile phone that you can speak wherever you are. But it's foolishness to have such a civilization in the first place. It's simply foolish. What is the value? Because the result of such, that's already being described, that they are, in previous verses, kala pashavita, they're in the noose of time, in the ropes of time. Here it's also said, arad agata mrityabaha, they're in the clutches of death. Death has already overtaken them. Agata. Agata means already happened. Agata already came. Just like gacchanti means going, they go. Te gacchanti. So agata means coming, already come. So agata mrityava, death has already come, it's already on top of them. Now you may say, well, how is that? It said here the demons, they're already dead. They're already, death has come to them already. You may say, how is that? Rather, they are killing others. At the present time, they're in the top, they're on top. It doesn't seem that death has come, it seems death is yet to come. But actually, death has already come. If a person is engaged in grossly sinful activities, death is already on their head. It's only a matter of time. Short time is separated. It's inevitable. It will come. Actually, death comes for everyone. For a devotee, there's no death. There's only a semblance. Devotee doesn't die in the same way that a materialistic person dies. A materialistic person dies to suffer in various hells. But a devotee dies to live. He's alive. Actually, a demon's already dead. In fact, in the discussion previously, Kamsa wanted to kill his sister. And then it was discussed that for one who kills innocent people like women or children, they're considered practically dead when they're living. Because their reputation is so bad. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, for an honorable person to have a bad reputation is worse than death. So such a person who has such a bad reputation, they're hated by everybody. They're considered already dead while living. Sometimes you hear about some dictator, like in Romania, some horrible dictator. What was his name? Ceausescu, something like that. He was your next door neighbor, huh? So everyone was glad when he was killed. They're happy. Such a person is killed because his only business was to give trouble to everyone except maybe his wife and his sons. And the whole country was run Romania Inc. Romania Incorporated. It's all a big business. How to make Ceausescu, or whatever his name is, how to make him richer and richer. So people are happy when he's killed. Just like that we read, Hiranyakashipu, he was killed. People are happy. Very good news. Very good. At last, he got killed. What is that verse? Modeda sadarabhi rischaka sarpahatyai. Even a saintly person is very happy. They're pleased when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So Hiranyakashipu, he was described, he was like a fever of headache fever, meningitis. He was like for everyone, he was like a constant headache, pressure on the head of everybody. What is that disease, meningitis? What kind of headache? Some kind of headache. Throbbing headache. So throbbing headache. Hiranyakashipu was like that. So people, please. Good news. What's the good news? Hiranyakashipu is killed. Oh, wonderful. Yes. It's good news. Actually, it's good news for him too, because he was killed by Nrisimhadev. So for such a person who is just, their whole life is simply causing pain to others, it's good news if they're killed. That is the nature of a demon. They take pleasure in the displeasure of others. They actually like that. It's a perverted pleasure. A saintly person is happy to see others happy and is prepared to accept suffering so that others can become happy. That is considered the highest form of worship of Krishna. Parama tapyante lokatapena paramaradhanam tadhi. One who accepts suffering so that others can be relieved from suffering, that is considered the highest form of worship of the Supreme Lord. Better than worship with flowers is to take difficulties on behalf of the Supreme Lord. But the asuras, they're just the opposite. A devotee is paradukha dukhi. He's unhappy to see the suffering of others. Therefore, he accepts difficulties to try to deliver others. Whereas a demon is paradukha sukhi. He becomes very pleased when he sees others suffering. And there are so many cases in the modern world. We see, sometimes we hear these descriptions of Yamaloka, hell, Yamaraj. You think, well, we don't believe that. What is it? You hear stories of people are pushed off the edge of cliffs and they fall onto some rocks and then they die and then immediately they're born again and they're carried up and again they're pushed and so there are different kinds of hells. They run through forests full of trees with sharp thorns which rips their whole body. And we think, I don't believe any such thing. But it's here also. Here on this planet you also see people who torture. It's a very common thing actually in the modern age, torture. I was reading something, it's a CIA training school. Horrible. How one day they're practicing on plastic dummies, how to cut people's fingers off, cut their ears off, and then the next day they have to do on live bodies. Horrible, but it's a very common thing in the modern age. Here in India also, a very common thing. Maybe someone is torturing his wife, or the police are torturing someone. There's some crime, so they have to catch someone, they have to make a show, they have to show someone's punished, so they catch someone. May not be the criminal, but you have to get him to confess. So torture him, and then eventually he confesses and goes to prison. That's your bad luck. This Kali Yuga is a very common thing, torture. There are even different methods have been perfected, how to torture more. So many different systems are there. How to inflict more pain on others. But this is demoniac nature. They take pleasure. They'll laugh. Prabhupada gave the example. He saw in Calcutta, there's Muslim hotel. Means restroom. Nowadays, Hindus are also doing it. Previously, meat hotel meant Muslim hotel. Now there's no difference. difference? I don't know why the Hindus and Muslims are fighting. What's the difference between them anyway? Hindus and Muslims, they're all eating meat and everything. Except the only difference is the Muslims do namaz, and the Hindus, they don't. They may go to a temple or may not. Otherwise, what they're fighting for, I don't know. What's the difference between Hindu and Muslim? So anyway, in those days, the meat hotel meant Muslim hotel. So Prabhupada is telling how he saw one man cutting the chicken's head. And chicken is squawking and suffering. And the man's son, his young boy, 5, 6 years old, crying, oh, horrible. And the man is saying, why are you crying? This is very nice, it's good fun. He's training him up. The son has to take over the profession of the father. So he's training him up from a young age. And you'll see that generally, it may be, even some children, they can be very cruel. They catch insects and pull their wings, and so maybe you haven't seen. It can be very cruel, but some may be very, they don't like that. But by training, you can be made into a demon. I saw my sister, younger sister, she didn't like to take tea, coffee, meat, fish, eggs, nothing. And forcing and forcing and forcing, and by the age of 8 years, she started to take all this. And she's still taking. So by training, she became a demon. She didn't like to. But by force, she became. I don't know, maybe she became vegetarian, but at least. Then, someone also demoniac. They have demoniac tendencies. They get good association. They can also become a devotee. But there is a difference. It's not that it's all the same. The Krishna, he's making the difference. Vyas, as the representative of Krishna, or Shukdev Goswami is speaking here, they all have the same opinion. Vyas, Shukdev, Krishna, they all speak from Shastra. Same thing. That you have to be a devotee. If you're not a devotee, then you're a fool and a rascal. You may be very intelligent, making mobile phones, or making plans how to annihilate all the sadhus, like council. But you're a fool. Because ultimately, for all your plans, you have to go to hell. Death has already overtaken you. You're certain to die. You can't escape from your sinful reaction. If you make so many sinful activities, then death is already on your head. You can know for sure, anyone who's performing sinful activities, death is already on their head. It's just a matter of time. It won't be very long. That comes up in the next verse. Are you? First, what happens to someone who persecutes saintly person? Mahad Atikramaha means performing wrong activities against saintly persons. The first symptom is, are you? Your lifespan will be cut short. You may die early, or in many cases you'll be killed, or you'll suffer some horrible accident. Or sometimes it happens the other way. Sometimes a sinful person, they die by coma for a long, they have long coma before they die. That's also a sign of a very sinful person. I heard many years ago that Prabhupada had said this, and not confirmed. But Prabhupada had said that coma means a person is so sinful that Yamaraj and company, they're trying to work out where to put him. It's a very sinful end. So Ayu Shriyam, one's bodily beauty is lost by persecuting saintly people. That's a fact. Materialistic people, they measure bodily beauty simply according to the bodily construction. But actually, to a devotee, one who is a devotee, they look very beautiful. One who is not a devotee, they may have very nicely formed body, Miss World, but they don't look attractive because their face is full of lust. Tamas, Ranja, lower modes of nature. And actually that happens also, that a saintly person remains young. They don't become old. Their spirit is always young, always fresh. Whereas even someone may be Miss World, or they become old, they become 4 years ago, with just like you see the riverbed in India, in the summer when it dries up, there's so many cracks and lines, just like that. Hundreds of lines all over the place. So that was the beauty just a short time ago, and now so many wrinkles. There's many wrinkles on the face as hairs on the head, practically. So that's, you lose your beauty. But a devotee doesn't lose his beauty. A devotee becomes more beautiful because he reflects the beauty of Krishna. But one who is a non-devotee, then whatever beauty, whatever qualities, their length of life, their fame turns to infamy. Yash becomes apayash. By mahadha tikramaha, by insulting saintly persons, you can know for sure that one who does this, for some time, they may go on. And they may look very powerful. But it's like a squid, some firework. It burns very bright, then finished. Very soon. It doesn't last very long. Because the results of their sinful activities are sure to catch up with them. It's only a matter of time. That is what's waiting for the demons. And for the devotees, the same principle acts in the other way, positive way. That for one who is engaged in devotional life, who surrendered to Krishna, it's only a matter of time before he goes back to Godhead. Die, it's called die. Tatenu kampansu samikshamana punjana me bhagma kritang vipakam vidbhagma pubhir vidatam namaste jiveta yo mukti padesa dayabhak. One who is content to live in this world, suffering whatever may come to him, but happy to serve Krishna with body, mind and words, his going back to Godhead is assured, guaranteed. Dayabhak means he's certain to inherit the place of going back to Godhead, the position of going back to Godhead. So the distinction is being made that not to follow in the footsteps of Kamsa, follow in the footsteps of Vasudeva. From the immediate point of view, it may seem more worthwhile or advisable to follow in the footsteps of Kamsa. He is very powerful. He had so many other powerful people assisting him. Why should he follow in the footsteps of Vasudeva? One supposed to be a Kshatriya, but couldn't do anything. He was just locked up in prison by his brother, downtrodden, all his children were killed one after the other. Why should you want to be like Vasudeva? You want to be like Kamsa? Doesn't make any sense from the external point of view. But reality is, again, seeing the universe from the gods, from God's point of view, that Kamsa, he is arad agata mrityabha. The death is on his head. He has to suffer. Whereas Vasudeva, he is certain to get all the blessings of Krishna. And even Kamsa may seem to be in a very powerful and happy position, but he's always in fear. Constantly living in fear. Whereas Vasudeva, even though he's in a fearful position, Kamsa can any time kill him, but he's not afraid. Whatever is ordained by Krishna, that's what he is. He's always in transcendental bliss. Vasudeva is in the blissful position. Therefore, Satvang Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. That which, or he who is born from Vasudeva is called Vasudeva. That is the position of transcendental position, transcendental ecstasy. So this can be understood by devotees. We're not eclectics, everything's all okay, it's all the same. No. We say, surrender to Krishna, otherwise you're a demon. You have to go to hell. Take it seriously. There's a difference. Our whole philosophy means to see the difference. It's not all one. It's not that demons, devotees, it's all the same. There is abhed. We admit there is abhed. There is non-difference also. But more importance is bhed. Difference. What is the difference between Kamsa and Vasudeva? We want to see what is the difference. Not that we say it's all the same, or maybe Kamsa was the good guy and he got a badly represented and he wasn't such a bad guy after all. No, he was a demon. No doubt about it. We're not running a PR department for counsel. He's a rascal. He's a rogue. And anyone who follows in his footsteps is also a rascal or a rogue. And who follows in the footsteps of Vasudev, he is sadhu. He is a saintly person. He's not biased. Even if you say biased, it is God's point of view. But actually he's not biased, because samaham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho svinatya. He's not biased, he's neutral. Actually he loves everyone. God loves you. Christians, I don't know if they say in the West, they would say, God loves you. What does it mean they say God loves you? They don't know who God is. They don't know who you are, who the Atman is. They don't know what love is. So every single statement, God loves you, is completely meaningless. God loves you means, thank you God for sending us this roast beef. And thank you for killing all the Kasabs. They don't know what it means. They have no idea. Every single word is... They need to training to understand. What does it mean God loves you? They don't know. Actually the fact is God loves you. What does that mean? God loves you means God may be very kind. He may put you in the position of Vasudev, where you are tortured, persecuted, put in so many difficulties. But if you can remember Krishna, that is the great benediction. So how to understand all these things? That we have to see through the eye of Shastra, through the eye of Krishna, how Krishna is presenting. He's not biased. Eva janti tamam bhaktya. Those who worship me, mai te teshu chapyaham, I reciprocate with them. God is neutral. Means he's willing to accept. Even if Kamsa, after doing so many bad things, if he turned around and said, actually I'm sorry, forgive me. If he sincerely said, Krishna would forgive. He's ready to do so. Even in the case of Jagai and Madhai, the same thing. They wanted to attack and punish. They wanted to kill Nityananda. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to kill. But when they repented, he accepted. Yes, you can be devotees. So that is his kindness. He doesn't hold a grudge. Here this word is being used, dvesh. Vidvesh. Dvesh means bad feeling, especially holding a grudge. There are different kinds of this. Irsha, it also means hatred. Dvesh means holding a grudge. You have some bad feeling. He did something bad to me, I'll do something bad to you. But Krishna, he doesn't hold any grudge. He's within our hearts. All the time we're insulting him, constantly, by forgetting him, not recognizing his authority, life after life after life. But if we once turn around and say, Krishna, please help me. Krishna's willing to help us. He doesn't hold a grudge. He didn't say, well, forget it. Now it's my time. Now it's time for me to get even on you. He doesn't hold a grudge. He's immediately willing to forgive any number of offenses against himself. But here Kamsa is being put in a more difficult situation. If he was only envious of Krishna, that would be one thing. But he's envious of Krishna's devotees, which is much worse. Actually, the two things go together, because Krishna and his devotees go together. Krishna is always with his devotees. So if you envy Krishna, then it's going to come that you envy his devotees. And if you envy the devotees, you're going to envy Krishna. That will come. That's why we see sometimes people, they're supposed to be devotees, but they become envious of other devotees. Then what happens after some time? They become envious of Krishna. That's what happens. Because your mentality becomes duramati, that's been described here, wrong mentality. So if you start to envy the devotees, then eventually you end up envying Krishna, and you go to hell. Because Krishna and his devotees are together. If you envy Krishna's devotees, that means you envy Krishna even more. Because Krishna, he doesn't take so seriously envy if he's used to. Because everyone's envy, the whole material world, everyone's envious of him. But he doesn't like if someone is envious of his devotees. So those who are envious of his devotees, they have a very bad future. For devotees, they should, although of course we may not like to think of ourselves as devotees, but those who are trying to be devotees, they should also carefully act with people, with the public in general, so that they don't take up any grudge against devotees, and in this way make their path to hell. Any question? Yeah. Is Prabhupada my name? Jada disciple. Jada shishya nahi banana. Bahu shishya na loibe. Wo ek baat hai. Aur Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki dusri baat hai ki আমার আজ্ঞায় গুরু হয় তার এই দেশ, যারে দেখো তারে কহ কৃষ্ণ উপদেশ, সবকে প্রচার করো, সবকে শিষ্য বানাও, ওই দুসরি বাত। পৃথিবীতে আছে যত নাগরাদি গ্রাম, সবত্র প্রচার হইবে মোর নাম। তো আগা যাদের শিষ্য লেনা হে তো আপনার রিস্ক হতে, লেকিন আগা নেই লেনা হে তো সব নারাজ যায়গে। ভক্ত বড় দুঃখ দুঃখী হে দূসরে লোক উদ্ধার করতে রিস্ক লেতে দু আদেশ দোনো বিপরীত বহু শিষ্য না লইবে যারে দেখো তারে কহ কৃষ্ণ উপদেশ আমার অঞ্জয় গুরু ভাইয়ের তার এই দেশ দোনো বিপরীত এক বচন মে চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু বলতে এই সবকে যে দেখতে হো সবকে প্রচার করো ও শিষ্য বলো ও দূসরি বার বহু শিষ্য না লো তো আপনা আপনা হিত কে লিয়ে যাদের শিষ্য নেই লেন আচ্ছা হে যাদের শিও দাদ হতে লেকিন চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু কি ইচ্ছা পূর্ণ করতে কে লিয়ে যাদের শিষ্য লেনে চাই ও বাস্তব মে ও ভক্তম কে হিত ভি হে কিন্তু কেসে হিত হোক হমারে কল্যাণ কেসে হতে সাধনা কে দ্বারা তো জৈসে সাধনা সাধনা মে কই নুকসান নেই হোক শিষ্য নেই লেনা বিলকুল নেই লেনা আচ্ছা হে কই ডিস্টার্ব নেই হোক হম খালি হরে কৃষ্ণ কর সকতে এক ভি শিষ্য নেই লেনা আচ্ছা হোক হম ভজন কর সকতে এসা বহু সাধু হে যে গুরু কই গুরু কই শিষ্য গ্রহণ নেই করতে সোচতে কি আগাম শিষ্য গ্রহণ করতে তো তারা ভজন কর নুকসান হোক নষ্ট হয়ে যায় তো আপনার ভজন কে লিয়ে আচ্ছা হোক লেকিন চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু কি কৃপা প্রাপ্ত করতে কে লিয়ে ও তকলিফ লেনা চাই শিষ্য গ্রহণ করার তকলিফ হতে বুঝে ভালো তো শিষ্য যে অনাচার করতে সব কমপ্লেন গুরু কে পাস আতে দেখো আপনার শিষ্য ওইসে করতে আপনার জমিদারি হ্যাঁ কেউ যারা তকলিফ হতে তো আপনার ভজন কে লিয়ে শিষ্য কম শিষ্য গ্রহণ করতে আচ্ছা হোক পুরো বিশ্ব মে প্রচার করতে কে লিয়ে যাদের শিষ্য লেনা চাই তো দো বচন হে আগে শাস্ত্র মে এস প্রকার দো বচন হে যে বিপরীত তো এসে সমঝনে চাই কি ও এক উপদেশ এক শ্রেণী ব্যক্তি কে লিয়ে হে ও দূসরো উপদেশ দূসরো শ্রেণী লোক কে লিয়ে হে তো এক শ্রেণী ভক্ত কে লিয়ে যাদের দেশ শিষ্য লেনা আচ্ছা নেই হে লেকিন দূসরো শ্রেণী ভক্ত কে লিয়ে যাদের শিষ্য লেনা চাই তো দো বচন সাই হে নেই হে কি বহু শিষ্য না লইবে ও পৃথিবীতে সবকে শিষ্য বানো তো দো বচন বিপরীত এসা নেই হে কি চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু নেই জানতে হে যে করতে এসা নেই হে কি এক বচন সাই নেই হে দোনো সাই হে লেকিন এক বচন এক প্রকার ভক্ত কে লিয়ে ও দূসরো বচন শ্রেষ্ঠ ভক্ত কে লিয়ে যে চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু কে লিয়ে চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু কে লিয়ে ভার লেতে
প্রভু প্রাপ্তি হয়ে নেই সত্যি
পুরুষার্থ
প্রভু প্রাপ্তি তো হয়ে নেই সত্যি কমপ্লিট সরকার তো হয় চাই